On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Tall Can Sports for another week. Rob across the table, Matt over here. Rob wasn't ready for his cue.
There we go. How's that?
I'm considering taking your boom away from you.
Why?
Because you make a lot of noise echoing around over there. And yeah, well, like stuff like that. It's just obnoxious.
It's right? In a pool.
I might give you back.
For those of you who don't realize that... This is actually the TCA studios are an abandoned pool.
Formerly drowned bodies everywhere.
Exactly, in a dirty old hotel downtown.
People who came running in, leaped off the diving board and didn't notice that it was fucking empty. And happens all the time, 2-3 times a show.
Yeah, during the show. sorry, that's the content.
Flying death. Yeah.
Clunk.
Yeah.
Oh.
I wanted to
wet
talk
meat against the window sound.
Just for a second, I feel odd going into this off of wet meat, but
yeah, okay. Mud flaps. Can I throw that out there too?
Any attempt to lend this event any credibility is out the window. But here we are.
That's your fault.
Oh, Canadian Women's Hockey League Championship game,
Clarkson Cup,
goes today. As we sit and record this in Ottawa, and it's the Montreal Canadiens, probably NES.
Canadien.
Against the Calgary Inferno. This is the 10th year for the Canadian Women's Hockey League, and thus, I presume, the 10th Clarkson Cup. I could have done a little more research, but, you know.
Well, this isn't really about, we're not paid shills for the CWHL.
We could be. info@tallcanaudio.com
It just has to be. We've already, once again, we're going to throw this out. It could be beer.
Sure. Whatever you want. We'll talk up your product. Yeah. On like a moment's notice. We could be pro-Trump tomorrow if they were to start sending over.
And I'm hungry too a bit. I could do with a...
Some kind of burrito.
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway.
A burrito? No, I was thinking one of those steak subs.
All right, well.
Sorry, man, I'm just.
Yeah.
And I'm not high, I swear.
Why are more people not high on the Canadian Women's Hockey League? They are doing.
Look at that guy, like a professional broadcaster. Great segue, Ron.
Thanks, man. I'll try and come up with a pun for the end of the show.
Okay, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
They are doing record business this year. They've had several games at over 10,000 per crowd. That's better than some junior hockey games are doing.
Yep.
This game will be on Sportsnet. Let's call a spade a spade. It will not be set any kind of records, but I imagine it will do an okay rating for a Sunday afternoon.
They'll do a decent crowd here in Ottawa.
I was meaning more on Sportsnet in terms of what kind of draw they'll have. Yeah, I think it'll be okay.
Are you going to watch?
Sunday? I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
And I wouldn't either.
I've been to a few times, seen live women's hockey, but it's always been at an international level. Canada, USA, yep. A couple of times.
Well, that's dynamite hockey.
It is. It's great hockey. And from what I'm told, this is probably better hockey than we give it credit, because you're seeing those national team players broken down and moved around.
There's people playing for both these teams that play on the American and the U.S.
Yes. So it will be high-end hockey. Is there any chance, based on what we've seen with the WNBA,
WNBC.
Yeah. What is the ceiling? I think if we're being fair, never going to catch
a Stanley Cup.
Game,
of course it's
right?
not.
It's just not.
And here's the thing. How much junior hockey have you seen this year?
Exactly none.
Okay. How much?
And I'm a junior hockey guy.
How much tier two junior A hockey have you ever seen?
One game. Wellington Dukes.
Okay. Yeah. Right? Junior B. All these things as you work your way down.
Yeah.
Man, that is great hockey. Yep. You just need to live in a place like Winchester. It's about 30 kilometers south of Ottawa here, where they have a junior B, which really, when you have tier two junior A, you're talking about a junior C program. Right.
But don't you think the problem is that perception? This is the top women's pro league in the world.
Is it NHL?
No.
No. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, hey, tier two junior A or straight up junior A hockey is great hockey. How much NHL have you seen this year?
Yep, stupid amount.
Okay, on TV and live.
Yeah, yep.
Right? So to me, what it comes down to is everything that is top tier hockey. What do I want to see? I have this insatiable appetite for world junior hockey, for NHL hockey, peeking in through cup final times, right? And to me, those are – everything else falls below that. And women's hockey, you know what? There's been some Olympic gold medal games which have been fantastic.
And sometimes than the men.
Right. And I'm talking about skill level, excitement, right?
That game in 2014 in Sochi, Canada-USA in the final – is, I don't know if you would be able to call it one of the best hockey, but certainly one of the most crazy finishes, one of the most exciting. That's Poulin tying it up late, Poulin scoring again in overtime.
Yeah.
Poulin scores the winner in 2010 as well. That was a different kind of.
But you watch that O2 game in the shootouts now. Women in shoot, they are bringing the same moves that the men have, right? Women's hockey, this isn't a slight on women's hockey, is where I was going with this. It just is.
Yeah, I think it was.
No, it wasn't. When I compared it to
junior C.
No. I'm just talking about levels of hockey and stuff that you would find wildly entertaining, right? If you were living in a small town.
Yeah.
Right?
But I'm not. I'm living in Ottawa, and the championship game is here today. Here's part of the problem, I think, and this is...
Okay,
so I think in the Super Bowl, you overlook the fact that it's two teams playing in a neutral site and you just go, it's the fucking Super Bowl, right? If you really want to make a shot at this, that game has to be at the Bell Center or at the Saddle Dome.
Okay, what I'm saying is there's better men's competition.
Yep.
We're not watching it.
But I guess my point is, if the NHL, which you asked me about, how much have I watched? A stupid amount, right?
Yeah.
Colorado versus Edmonton because I'm bored Saturday night or whatever,
shit,
right?
Shit ton, I think is
the metric shit ton.
A metric shit ton.
That is the top level of men's hockey. This, discounting international, right?
Yeah.
This is the top level of women's hockey.
Is it the top level of hockey?
No.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a gender thing.
So
it's
you're
a
saying,
top level of hockey.
So you're saying women's sports never has any chance of getting close. Because it won't be as quick. It won't be as crisp.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, you know what? I'm going to finish this up. I'm going to go watch my son's Bantam game. And it's not NHL caliber. I'm going to love it. I'm going to enjoy
it. It's not.
It because I'm invested in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So to me, if I'm watching... If I'm there, I'm loving it. And so all I'm saying is I'm trying to distinguish between expressing interest level versus talent level. And all I'm saying is the women, to me, You coach women like you coach men, you get the same results because women athletes are capable of so much. They're stronger, they're faster now than they ever have been. So to me, I'm not talking about the talent of the game. I'm saying Junior A, Ottawa 67s, Oshawa Generals, those guys are the future of the NHL game. They are talented, they are fast, they are strong. The women are like that. I haven't seen either one of those. So to me, it's not, there's no talent in Junior A hockey. I'm not going to it. I don't have time for it on my viewing schedule.
I guess the question becomes, do you have to view it differently? Will there ever be a time where people prefer, whether it's all young girls with their eyes set on the national team, will there ever be a group of people that will prefer the women's game or give it enough respect to, let's start here. Do you think that it does better if it's in a scenario that I just listed? The games between Calgary and Montreal, it should not fucking be in Ottawa if you want to make a really strong, take a shot at filling the house.
See, that to me, what you're talking about now, moves it into the professional realm.
Which it is.
It sounds like I fat-tongued that. Yeah, if you move it from the professional realm back to the minor sports, it's like a tournament, right? It's like you're going away.
Right? The Memorial Cup.
Yeah, but there's still a hometown team.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
In that tournament.
They might suck, but they're in it.
A professional environment is, we're going to play this in our own barn. It's going to be one of the two of us. We have the better record. We get to host, right?
Don't you think it should be that? If this is the championship game for the Women's Pro League?
That's what I'm saying is this smacks of amateur.
And I'm not saying they're selling out 21,000 in Montreal. Maybe they do, but they're going to get more.
You are going to have more people
than
with
they will here
interest.
In Ottawa. Yeah,
vested.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because
freelance.
They are doing better business. Many people fancy themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Horrified.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be really hard for our conversation on this to be taken seriously.
I think we're done.
Yeah.
No, I think we've done. I think we've maxed that out.
To me, it's interesting that this is probably the best they have ever done, and they're going to cap it off with a whimper in a market that doesn't care. And that's fixable.
Well, we'll see what the attendance is.
Unless they sell it out, which they won't, because I don't think any of the two host cities would sell it out, I think you'd be able to make the argument it would have done better in a city that.
Okay, so
that's all.
Let's just finish this with above or below 10 grand in attendance today in Ottawa.
Yeah, and we should know since it's starting in like an hour. I'm gonna say below.
I'm gonna take above.
Okay.
Not much,
yep.
But I'm going to say
11,000 kind of thing.
And, 12 in and about.
And I'm the same thing. I'm not way under. I'm at like 9,200 kind of thing, but I think below. So you'll be able to check that for yourselves by the time you hear this, but we'll check back on it.
And say, you know what? Rob's a genius. Bet. Feel free to send those along anytime.
At Captain Blowhard on Twitter for all of your Rob's a genius comments.
Yeah. Or check out Maddie Lang.
No, you don't have to do that.
Right. No, check him out because he's a staunch supporter of Captain Blowhard and all his opinions.
Oh, jeez. Let's move over. I think we both have some thoughts. I'm throwing the guy out a little love.
Come on. He's on here. He's a contributor. He can have his opinion or he can have mine and be right.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Little fella, but good guy.
Okay. You done?
Track pants and boots.
Okay. Carrying on. I am now telling you you're done. I think we both have some thoughts on the trade deadline. Before we get there, I wanted to check in on the next 10 games for the Toronto Maple Leafs on the heels of a bad trip to California. They get one of 6 points.
Any Atlantic Division team going out to California, that's a bad
trip. Stay home and rest and just agree to take a -6.
Captain Buzzkill, -6.
Right.
Captain Buzzkill,
that is the
California swing.
Yeah.
And you know what? It doesn't seem to matter how strong the Atlantic team is and how poor those guys are doing.
No.
The travel, All that shit
just get whomped out there.
Whacks you. Well, and you know what? You have these zany granola crunchers out there. You can't fly out of San Jose after 3 in the afternoon or whatever it is due to their noise pollution. And, you know, then you got a bus to L.A. There's a bunch of things happening there, right?
Well, they say there's days where the bus from L.A. to Anaheim is longer than the one from Toronto to Montreal or Toronto to Ottawa based on traffic.
Yeah,
well,
this is what I'm saying. Yeah, going down.
Should be a 40-minute drive, but it's fucking hours and hours.
Because you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah. So Leafs get 1 point out of the California swing, go from at the beginning of the week having a 60% likelihood of making the playoffs to a 37% likelihood of making the playoffs. If they win two in a row, that'll fluctuate again. It's tight. It's tight in the Atlantic. It's tight around the wild card. And the Leafs' next 10 games was interesting to me. So I think you have it in front of you. As you run through these.
Well, no. First of all, tell the listeners what you said to me in the text that accompanied these standings or this schedule.
Yeah, okay. That there's no reason the Leafs can't win six. I might have this backwards and should win seven or no, should think, win six and can't win seven.
Maybe you said.
Should win six and there's no reason they can't win seven.
That's right.
Yes. And that's how I feel about this. And so as we're going to sing through these next 10 games quick, and we're not going to go in on all of them, but just.
Well, and so
as I look back at it after you responded going, I don't know where you're getting your fucking seven. Well, to me,
that's all I'm saying is, yep. To me, that means there's just seven laydowns.
And I look, no. And that's not it. And I think as I look back at it, it's more six or seven must-haves.
Right. And
not doesn't mean will get.
Everybody out – And again, everybody out there listening has received texts or emails and you go, well, this is how I read what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that's what he's saying. So when I looked at the schedule and went, okay, so they got in the next 10 games, well, that means they must have – you know, back-to-back against Arizona
Colorado
and Vancouver and Colorado. And, you know, I don't care about Vancouver. They may have been hot and cold and on a hot streak, but
terrible.
They're shit. And I don't care about any of that.
Terrible.
Random assault. Okay. So to me, if you just want to run down the next 10, and as listeners, I want you to. And
hit me with the dates if you don't mind, just because I know there's only one back-to-back there.
Okay, but there's only one back-to-back, but I think they're virtually all – every second day.
Two, yeah.
Right.
I think there's a Saturday to Tuesday.
You have a 3 day in between one of these, I think.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are all one day off, one day on.
Yeah.
Right.
So you should be able to get in a rhythm.
Is that how you're looking at this?
Well, it's tough, but it's better than the Leafs have played a ton of back to backs. A lot of teams have with this crazy schedule this year.
And so they're on the road to start. And so we'll give you the versus or at.
Yeah.
Right, so the V means you're at home, right? So you start.
So this
out,
starts this Tuesday,
right? You have March 7th versus Detroit. You gotta have that.
Yep.
You have March 9th versus Philly.
Gotta have it.
Philly's
fallen back a bit, but you can let them in.
I know. Well, and so what I'm saying is, you're saying gotta have it, and I'm saying to me, my team is 6 points up on yours or 5 points, whatever it is. Well, man, we got to have every game.
Okay.
We beat Colorado 2-1, and I'm thinking, yes, that's a have to have.
Yeah.
Like so
let me swing this. We're two games in from
how about giving
what
give
they
him,
should win,
how about
but what
me
they sh- have to have what to no, stay in this.
I want
to
know should win.
Yeah. Okay.
Give me the should wins.
Yep. Okay. So
because
Detroit should win.
To me, you are in no position. Neither one of us.
Yeah.
Nobody short of Montreal. I think Montreal has the nicest cushion.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody else from Ottawa, Boston.
Toronto, Florida, Tampa.
Toronto, Florida, Islanders, all those teams. You can't give away. There can't be any off nights.
Right.
Okay. So March 7th versus Detroit.
You got to have it, and you should beat them.
That's both those.
Yep.
That is a should.
Yep.
You got March 9th versus Philadelphia.
That's both. Should have it, got to have it.
Right. And I think if you look back, we both had Philadelphia. Well, you had them higher.
I did, yeah.
But to me, they always had defensive problems.
It's Columbus.
Scoring problems. Yeah, well, this is it. You know, the predictions as the season's worn out, hey, not too bad.
Yeah. But fuck off, Columbus.
And Devin Dubnyk.
You're in the way. Yeah. Fuck yeah. And your worst goaltending in the league.
Okay. Good. So March 11th. So again,
yep.
7, 9, 11, you are at Carolina.
That is a should have, but I've got that in the loss column.
Man, but that team is they are Jekyll and Hyde.
It just seems like one of those ones where you've played a division team and a team in the race. You're on the road in a dead building. That seems like a trap. I think that's a loss. Now you should have it, but I that's a loss for us.
Okay, you got 14 at Florida Panthers.
Gotta have it.
Should have it.
They're right there with us, two back, I think, right now as we sit and record this.
And much hotter. Yep. Much hotter in the past 15 games.
Leafs are something like 5.
Okay, we'll get into your loser points and all those other things that come along with that.
But something like 5 regulation wins in 18 games.
Are you claiming that as one of your 7?
Yes.
Okay. So then you have, that is...
Got Tampa next.
You are 14. You are 16 in Tampa.
Gotta have it. They're right there. We've got them something like 4 times still.
You are 18 back home against Chicago.
That's a loss.
You are
coming off the road trip. Yeah.
You are March 20th at home against Boston.
Gotta have it.
Should have it.
Man, we've been better than Boston. We've been faster. That defense
is so
slow.
You have not been better than Boston since the coaching change.
No. Okay. But I mean, when we've played them head to head, that defense cannot keep up with our.
Yeah, well, and to me, that is the thing with Toronto.
Yeah.
Okay, after that, you are at Columbus.
I've got that as a loss, another one of those ones where you've just played a division rival in the race, now you're on the road in
Columbus.
That's
on the 22nd.
That's a
loss. And then you've that was Columbus?
Yeah.
So at Columbus, then you are, the next night you are home against, to me, what is the worst team in the East, New Jersey Devils.
But you're coming off the, I think I've got that as a gotta have it. You have to have it because they're bad, right? I'm starting I'm going to throw McElhinney to the Wolves in Columbus.
So you are 22nd, 23rd. So you are the third game in four nights.
Yeah.
And you were at home against. You were at home against New Jersey. And then, two nights later, finish off against the Buffalo Sabres.
Got to have it. That's the next 10 games.
Okay. So what do you got in that?
I'm losing to Chicago. I'm losing to Carolina. And I'm losing to Columbus.
Wow.
Now, that's maybe you beat one of them and lose one of the other. But as this shakes out and you look at it, if the Leafs are going to stay in it these next 10 games, they've got to be at least 6-4, and they can be 7-3. Now, frankly, any team, and we saw it with Columbus going whatever they were, 18, and I'm not saying that's what the Leafs are going to do. But you can see any team could win 6 in a row or whatever. We've seen that before. Non-playoff teams have crazy streaks and playoff teams have wild losing streaks. I think if the Leafs are not at minimum 6-4 in this next 10, they're done. Tampa's hot. You just said it. The Florida Panthers are hot. The Islanders are ridiculously hot. That, again, corresponds to a coaching change. Maybe we need to fire Babcock for the rest of the year. But you've got teams that the Leafs, frankly, should be better than. That Islander team has Thomas Greiss in net. That's not good, right? So, to me, you have to be, at minimum, 6-4 to come out of this, and there's no reason you couldn't be 7-3. But you have to be at least 6-4, or for me, the season's most likely done. You've got so many teams in the race, and you don't control your own destiny anymore. You're out right now looking in.
Well, and to me, this is a great segue. And to me, I think 6-4, you cannot afford any loser points. Right? You can't. We can't give up any of the sixes. You can
or any of the six.
You can in the four. I agree.
Yeah,
with
in
you,
the four but, losses, we can take points.
But to me, that's not what you're talking about.
Nope.
Right. And so,
well, because at the end of the season, the thing to keep in mind is also, if there's a tie, the first tiebreaker now is regulation and overtime wins. So any shootout wins or losses are out the window, right? Like, it's going to be regulation wins, and we're not high there.
You don't beat anybody in those.
No.
You guys with the point in LA the other night.
Well, so it becomes really interesting.
14 overtime losses.
It's all about your perspective. Hey, kudos to the kids for holding this many games close, or fuck, man, without the kids can't close the deal. And my perspective changes night to night on how I feel about that.
No, no. Okay, but yeah. And the reality is you and I exchanged a couple emails or texts on that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I'm saying, man, there is no – moving forward, there is nothing in that. And, and you want to know what the overtime losses, Ottawa – and this is clearly our biases.
Yep.
Right? You know what the difference is between overtime losses, Ottawa to Toronto?
It's got to be plus six, Ottawa.
So you guys have 14 overtime losses to our six.
Yeah. Whew. So it's plus eight.
Yeah. Man, that's huge.
It's a big swing. It's a big swing. And if somehow it came down to Toronto-Ottawa at that third spot, Ottawa's pushing Toronto out on that. Because it does, you know, the Islanders are going to be right there in the wild card and whatever else is going to happen over there, right? But those...
Yeah,
you get all your points on it, but if you end up tied, and it's funny, if we end up, and it's not likely to be Ottawa, Ottawa's well ahead of us, but let's say it's Toronto-Boston tied, and Toronto's going to lose on those loser points, right? Except if Toronto is ahead by 1 point, the tiebreaker doesn't fucking matter, and all those loser points were very helpful.
Well, no,
so it's kind of a fucked up system.
For sure it is, right? But
yeah,
I think you were spot on, right? We spent time on this podcast talking about games in hand, games in hand, games in hand. And you go, man, it's that old cliche. Those games in hand, they're not worth fuck all if you don't win them.
Yeah. Well, and I also said back at that mid-season point, I'm still kind of waiting for the wheels to come off a little. The kids, some of the kids to hit the wall.
And you have said it. You've said it. You went, well, those five wins, really, we need to go 500.
Yeah.
Right? If that's five games, 10 points, if we take two wins and a loser point in that, man, you're making huge hay in those five games and you didn't.
Nope.
Right? Whereas I think Ottawa did that.
And Ottawa somehow still has games in hand on people. So
right, which what that really means is, man, our schedule in the next 6 weeks is crammed.
Yeah.
Right? And so to me, it's, you are – but now we've put ourselves in a better position, right, in terms of we're still safely in that second spot.
Yeah.
Comfortably.
And that's the thing. Toronto, what did we say, is only a point back of the Islanders?
Yep.
But that means you have to be better than the Islanders.
Isles with a game in hand as well.
So if you are – like the Isles only have to be as good as Toronto. The rest – who knows what Florida and Tampa are going to do.
With that little game in hand.
Yep. They only have to be as good, and even if they grab a loser point out of that game
loser
in hand,
point.
You just go, okay. You just go, we just have to be as good. Toronto has to be better, right? So
and that is the hardest point
if you're in
this system.
It feels different than even if you're just one out. So,
because everybody's jockeying.
Yeah.
There's a pile of people now.
Every time you look and you go, those fucking... God damn it, 3 points for another fucking game, right?
Well, okay, and you said it. Ottawa was off a couple nights ago, right?
Yeah.
And you look at it, and it was Toronto and Montreal playing. And you're
three-point game.
Yeah, okay, it goes to overtime.
Of course it does.
And you go, you stupid fuckers.
Can't decide anything.
This is it. I hope the score clock falls and smashes all of you. Right? Like, there's what is that?
Yeah.
And that is the thing, right? You go, oh, not only did we not play or we lost – and then people
both
above us and minus are gaining points.
How do you both get to gain on
And that's a problem with society, right? Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody
ribbons.
Gets a medal. Yeah. Exactly. You finished 12th and you sucked. Well, guess what? We have this nice little lead medal for you. Don't eat it. You'll get poisoning. Or
you know
eat
Go ahead.
It. Maybe exactly. Go ahead and suck on that lead. Suck it.
Enough.
Yeah. No, he's just saying that. We don't.
Right. Sorry. Has that been lobbed off the end of the morning show?
Yeah, for sure. I haven't heard in a long time. I haven't, but I miss it. I miss it, right?
Any general thoughts on the Ottawa was reasonably active at the deadline. Montreal was pretty active. Most of the
division. Ottawa since the trade deadline has scored 5 goals.
What's he got, 3 of them?
60% have been scored by trade deadline acquisitions.
Okay.
The 2 by Burrows and Stahlberg scored last night.
I kind of liked the Stahlberg pickup for Ottawa. I'm perplexed more by the extension than the pickup of Burrows.
Everybody is, right? And if you look on Twitter, right, any of those reliable sends accounts, right, and they're all saying, I don't mind that, but I'm perplexed. I'm confused by the extension. The reality is they wanted him.
Yep.
He wasn't going to waive the no trade unless he got an extension. He's got young children, and that's what he's saying.
Yeah, then maybe you got to pass. Right? Like
to me, I think.
Because you're saying to me, it's all worth it if I see him punching Habs or Leafs in the face in the playoffs.
That's not what I said. That's what's being thrown out there. If he's an agitator.
Yeah, for sure.
He is he's a guy who's
apparently going, also to the Sens fan base.
Clearly there's a bunch of people saying that guy's a dick. But you know what? I like that.
Picking up a lot of those.
So what they're saying is, and to me, I have no reason to disagree with you. You listen to Canuck fans, you listen to Canuck media,
yeah,
right, who are saying the same thing. You could not find a better off-ice glue guy, right, in the change room, all those things. Yeah, he's a dick on the ice. He's going to get in front of the goalie. He's going to do all those things.
You feel like the best locker rooms always win the cup?
No.
I read that somewhere else. Like,
no. Okay, but to me, I look at what Phaneuf has done.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, he's had a great season.
Yep.
For us, right? He's going to end up with 15 goals, right? And he has done
that would have been nice.
In the Boucher system.
Yeah.
Man, he's fit in nicely. He's not asked to do too much. He's in that second pairing. He's getting some power play time, but not being the guy or.
Sure. So are you comparing him to, because they put Burrows right on the fucking first line.
Two goals.
First night. Yeah, okay. Do you expect that to be his regular output?
Well, and that was a leadoff on SportsCenter that night. One of those, not my girl, but generic.
Natasha?
Exactly. One of these other ones who was going, well, I guess what we know we can expect from Burrows for the rest. Yeah, 40 goals. That's what we're expecting down the stretch from Alex Burrows. No, I'm expecting him to finish the season at 15 goals. That means he's got 4 goals in his next 19 games. To me, that's I think what we're looking for.
Did he play?
This is not
the first night he played with Brassard and Stone, correct?
I'm
pretty sure.
Yep, that is.
Did
what it
he
is.
Stay with? Was that?
That was
Thursday.
I was out and busy last night. I didn't see a lick of it.
I mean, I guess if he scored 2, they're not going to break it up.
Well, no, but the assists on both those goals were by Mike Hoffman on line changes.
Okay. Because he's playing, they pushed him back down to 3 with
Pageau. They weren't on the same line at all, right? But yet.
Do you expect, though?
I expect him to stay in those top 2 lines.
Because do you not feel like there was a lot of talk when you came in about being a bottom 6 guy?
Well, because everyone looked at it and went, 9-goal guy.
Yeah.
He's not fitting in your top 6.
Okay, but even when, like, is Ryan back?
No. Ryan won't be back for another 3 weeks.
You've got Hoffman. I guess they like him with Pageau. They seem to.
Well, because that Pageau line, there's a couple guys who will ferret out the pucks.
Yeah.
Which is what they're saying about Burrows, too. He's a first-in guy.
So he's a net front presence. Who else is still out? Or is that it? Ryan right now?
Really, in terms of our impact guys, it's just Ryan.
So do you expect when he comes back?
When I say
back,
impact, I'm...
Yeah, no, I know what Ryan is supposed to be instead of what he's doing.
Right, because he's got 12 goals.
Better than 11 for Burrows.
Yeah.
Barely. No. But do you expect they're going to keep, or will that be Ryan's spot when he gets back?
Well, what you have to do is when you look at where do you fit in the combination.
Because like I said,
they are very happy now with, for the first time in that first game with Stahlberg and Burrows, that's the first time a Boucher fourth line where all 3 guys have averaged over 10 minutes of ice time.
Okay.
Right? So you have Stahlberg with Wingles and Mike Kelly.
Wingles.
Mike Kelly. Chris Kelly.
Yeah.
Right?
Who was supposed to be Alex Burrows.
Well, no. I don't think Kelly's never scored at a clip better than, I don't know, 10 to 15. I'm not.
No, but I don't feel like when you give that guy 2.5 for 2 more years, you're expecting him to score 15 a year.
Right. And that is the point where we're at, and most Sens fans are. They're like, yeah, all right, I get it. The reality is the Senators looked at Jonathan Dahlin, right?
Yeah.
Not in their top 4 prospects, right?
The opinion on that guy as the return for Burrows seems to be pretty wide. Like, there's guys that say absolutely he's going to score.
And Bob McKenzie was saying, you can talk to, and he goes, and I have a wide variety of scouts, and some of them say, man, that guy is a top 6 forward.
Yep.
slam dunk.
Yep.
Then you have other guys go, yeah, no, he is a third line player.
Might play.
He's a PJ Axelsson. He's he's that sort of thing. And then there's other – then you can find an equal number who say
– Well, he goes in depth on this. On if you're not listening to it, you probably should because it's interesting. The TSN Every Other Friday Bobcast, it's called. He's got his own podcast now. It's pretty entertaining. And he went into this last week on Jonathan Dahlin and said exactly what you're saying right now. You have people who say that guy will play and he will score 25 and other people going, yeah, you can pitch him, right? It's not a big deal.
And people saying he's scoring at a clip comparable to Philip Forsberg as a first-year pro in Sweden. Yeah, okay. Dahlin is playing in the Swedish second division. Okay, he is not in their elite division. So all I'm saying is, you likely have to overpay, but they're not over – what the Senators are feeling like, they're not overpaying for the prospect. They're overpaying in the 2 years at 2.5. That's where that comes.
I think
they are very happy with Schlappick, who's playing in Charlottetown, right in the queue, who's ripping it up this year, right? They're very happy with Logan Brown, and then there's the Shabbat and White, who honestly,
most people probably pretty happy they didn't.
Well, and I feel like this is Ottawa's Toronto light here, where these are maybe the two best prospects to ever come down the pipe ever. No.
Except Carlson.
Well, and that's what somebody was saying. How do you feel when Shabbat's going to play 60 games in Belleville next year? Right, which is what he should.
Yep. I think we're both, before we move on, pretty happy with the Stallberg deal. Didn't give up much, and he's a good depth guy. That's a
And so big body who skates, won a cup, that sort of stuff, right? He's not going to put in a pile of goals. Last night was his 10th or 11th goal, right? But he's just going to skate there. He's gonna help with the PK. Right, he comes from Carolina, had the top PK, right, and he was a vital cog in that.
Right.
Right, and he's here, right, that kind of thing. He's going to
– Expiring contract.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to plug him in. He's serviceable. And I think what the word is in the scouting community, he's programmable.
Okay.
Right.
The new word for coachable.
Right. Yeah. You can give him something and he'll just do it, right, and he will fit into that. Don't expect a pile of offense from him. But he can forecheck, he can skate, and he's big.
What else stood out to you on the deadline itself? Montreal was fascinating. To me, they got bigger, slower, and worse.
Right, in terms of the number. And then what? They had Dwight King played their first night, and they scratched the other two?
They gave up more for Steve Ott than the Panthers did for Thomas Vanek. That's brilliant.
And you know what? I think they are held together right now. Like people are going, they're at a 5-2 run, I think.
Yeah.
People look at that. That's held together with paper mache and paper clips.
Yeah.
Right? Like, to me, that is Price.
Yeah. Who's something like a 940.
Full stop.
940 save percentage since the coaching change. He was at about an 898 before Therrien.
You look at how Therrien handled him, right?
Yeah.
Couple pulls.
Yeah.
You know, when Price thought, I should be. And then a couple times when they left, what's his name? Montoya in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Where the 10 in Columbus.
That 10 spot in Columbus, right, when the cannon ran out of ammunition, right? And you're looking at Price, and the camera keeps flashing to Price. There was obviously a rift between Therrien and Price. And so to me...
Well, you're not... To be fair to Therrien, I don't care how bad Price wants into that game. You're not putting him in there as a coach.
Well, no, I know, but...
The backup's got to wear that.
Right. And then you look at the next time Price is in there, and they're down 5-0 after the first period.
Yes.
Yeah. And Price is saying... Yeah, okay, you know what? I want to stay in.
Yep.
And you hear Price saying, hey, I want to take this with my teammates. Yeah. I don't want to get pulled.
Yeah.
Which I think every goalie likely feels.
Well, or any decent teammate.
Right. And so he's saying, leave me in. And people are like, and Therrien's leaving him in on a 7-2 loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But you don't know.
Right.
Right? That this is what he's saying. Hey, I want to battle with my teammates.
Yep.
Right? And so you don't know. But to me... Yeah, Montreal was the most active, but to me, there was a pile of stuff there where, like, and you said it, bigger, slower,
worse.
... worse.
Yeah.
Right? And so to me, they're not better equipped.
Managed to hang on to Sergachev. A lot of people were afraid they were going to do something stupid there.
Okay. And you know what the thing is? You listen to
that
it.
That usually stemmed from Colorado.
The salary cap has ruined the deadline.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of swapping of... bottom six forwards.
Middling picks. And there's
everybody's
there's
money
things.
Is committed.
It's not just the deadline. It's not just the cap. It's the flat cap the last year or two, right? And it's not going up. For the first several years, the cap's up, up, up. And so there was always room to keep making bigger moves than we're seeing now anyway. And that's even now that's gone, right? Like, as the cap isn't going to keep just ballooning up, you don't even have room to do what little they were able to do before. And so you see a lot of this kind of the deal that was interesting to me, or the series of deals that was interesting to me, was Philadelphia trades Mark Streit to Tampa Bay for Philpula, and there was a pick in there, maybe a seventh, I can't remember.
And then they turned around.
But they held on to, Philadelphia held on to 4.9% of Streit's contract.
Of course, why wouldn't you?
And there's something about this is, I guess, exactly what Tampa can afford to take. And so you see a lot of the time they're keeping 50%, which is, I think, the max you're allowed to keep.
Because you look at what Tampa did.
So Tampa turns around and flips him to Pittsburgh. And you wonder, I get it, that Philly doesn't want to help Pittsburgh, right? I don't know whether Pittsburgh has called and said, we want Streit or whatever. But had they known, and I assume they did.
Yzerman and Tampa jettison that $5 million that they're going to owe Philpula for next year.
To Philly, and they're saying they want him. They're saying they're going to protect him, which they don't have a choice. They have to protect him in the expansion draft. But if you know, and I think they that Tampa's going to turn around and deal him to Pittsburgh anyway, why help Tampa?
Yeah.
Just make the deal with Pittsburgh yourself.
And to me, the two things, other than how busy Montreal was for what they've really got out of it, to me, the other interesting things were what Tampa's done, right? And that starts with the trade of Bishop.
Yeah.
To L.A.?
Because people don't realize they have Andre Palat, Tyler Johnson, and Jonathan Drouin, all of them RFA this year.
Right. And so Philpula's gone and Bishop's gone. Now Bishop was a UFA.
Yeah.
But you're looking
Philpula
at—
Philpula was 5.5 on the cap.
$5 million bucks they've freed up.
Yeah.
Right? And all that comes down to is, Yzerman has freed up money for next year.
And you still wonder if it's going to be enough for all three of them. But he's certainly in a better position now. Like— I don't know whether Drouin's going to be looking at the bridge deal, because he's been fantastic since all that shit a year or two ago when he sat
last
out
spring.
And whatever.
Last winter, early spring.
He's been terrific. Tyler Johnson's been terrific for a while now. And Palat, to me, isn't on the level of those two, but he's going to get a raise.
Okay.
He's probably the one who's going to go.
That straight up $5 million is not enough for the increase that those three guys are going to need.
Right.
Now, is Hedman up? Or was Hedman up last year?
I think Hedman was already up. I think he's good to go.
So, but then tell me now, moving away from Yzerman, and to me, Yzerman's shrewd.
Yeah.
Right? Honestly, I think he's...
But just to make the final point before you move on here, I think Philly, forget Philpula, because he's not that good. You don't really need him for what he's...
Philpula's a third-line guy.
At best, at this point, right?
And way too much money.
And 5.5 on the cap. If you know what's up, and I believe you have to have known that. McKenzie said the same thing on his part. He knows where that's all going to go before. Then fuck Tampa. They're not in your division, but you could be battling with them next year in a wild card. Don't help them. Just give Streit, who's an expiring contract anyway, to Pittsburgh, despite the rock, and go, we don't need this middleman bullshit. And so that was interesting to me to watch that. That was probably the most interesting part of the deadline. You were about to go somewhere.
Well, I was just, in terms of we can finish that off with, what are the Kings doing acquiring Bishop, and then you're running with it with a presumably healthy Quick right now?
I think everything I read, was A, insurance, but B, they can't use him the way they want. I guess they have several back-to-backs coming up, and he's not – they were going to have Budaj and their life and death to make the playoffs.
They need scoring, man.
For
don't
sure.
Don't go out and –
You don't think Aginla's going to bring that? They bringing in 2002 Aginla?
No. I agree, but you know what? Aginla's going to score 1,000% more than Bishop.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Okay, and that's all it is, right? If you're looking at...
But if you have to have every game and you've got, let's say, four back-to-backs left, you want to turn to Bishop or Budaj in those? Because they cannot play with, I guess, the way...
Well, Budaj's got them there on the cusp of the playoffs all season.
Well, maybe Quick has them above that.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying is then you go, hey, we need Quick. We need every win from Quick and we need 50% from Budaj.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unreasonable, I'm just saying. But
I don't hate it.
To me, if you go out and you get depth scoring, To me, that's way better.
Because I don't think they gave up much to get him. I can't remember. Yeah, okay. I don't think they gave up much. I can't remember off the top of my head to get.
So to me, to answer your
liked
question,
that.
They are doing their trade deadline was.
That's 2/3 of Team USA's World Cup goaltending. That went really well for them.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Now, before we head out here,
yeah.
I'm interested in your thoughts on David Price.
So he went, he had some elbow trouble, went to see Dr. James Andrews, who seems to see every athlete who
expert.
Has any kind of trouble with anything. And I guess you were saying earlier, gave them good news, reason to be positive.
No surgery.
I haven't seen what that means in terms of, is he good to go or is he still going to be out a month or two? Or?
No, I from what I'm getting from this preliminary thing is that, he's not back right now, right? That you're looking at a little rehab.
Yeah.
But no surgery, right? Not back right now.
I think you could make the argument if you wanted to that the entire division swings on that.
Well, and to me, you know what? As we touched briefly on off air, you don't get a second opinion.
Yeah.
If you're happy with the first opinion.
Right.
So.
So we'll see where that goes.
There's something there.
Yeah. But now they're still going to have, even without Price, Porcello, who was 20 wins in Cy Young last year, and Chris Sale, who they brought in.
Yep.
That's killer. But you can make the argument with the Jays rotation.
Yep.
Pending the fact that they hit that.
You take Price out of that. I take our rotation for sure. And then you are removing Fatso from their from their lineup. To me,
it becomes because we're both on record saying Boston's taking the division.
It's way more. It's way more competitive.
Yeah.
And so, but to me,
so to say, it's not an exaggeration to say the division could swing on that one guy's elbow.
I'm not saying it is. No.
No.
If you look at the innings he's eaten up, right, and his delivery, they're saying that is not the way he throws the ball.
Yeah.
Is not a natural.
Right.
Right. And so the wear and tear, he's due.
Yeah.
He's due with the innings he's logged. So to me, this is, whoop, there's the first warning sign.
Yeah.
You go, yikes, that's been waiting to happen. So to me, that's fascinating to watch as spring training moves into the second half and April 1st moves closer.
World Baseball Classic, less than a week away. He's not a part of it, but
yeah.
No, it is. It's interesting. And like I said, to think that we could be talking about this entire division swinging on one guy is really interesting. Anything can happen, obviously, but to take that out of their rotation, you go, here we go, right? Like, maybe there's a little something there. So, it's interesting. The Jays are off to record-wise, who really gives a shit, about the record in spring training.
You're looking at pitchers getting in the work they need to get in.
But Bautista got a couple of jacks in here early. Not too bad, right?
Morales with a nice debut.
Yeah, and Smoke, something like.
Yeah, 2 for 20.
Yeah, like 12 strikeouts and 3 walks or 2 walks or something.
Right on, man. Fuck. You're on pace.
Here we go. Right, buckle up. So, no, it's been interesting to watch so far. Especially as more and more games now later into spring training start to pop up onto TV. But still a lot of names you don't recognize. So it's early going, but it'll be interesting to see.
Well, we'll see.
It's that time of year. It's Tall Can Sports. Let's get out of here.
See you.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.